Oh Lord, you know I have only one talent. But I don't wanna despise my talent.
Only one talent.
I know someone who has two talents.
Only one talent.
And someone else who has five talents.
Only one talent.
And so my Lord, I feel like hiding my gift. I feel like hiding my gift when I'm in the midst of gifted people. Oh my Lord, I feel like hiding my gift. I feel like hiding my gift when I'm in the midst of gifted people. Oh no, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need to use what I have. If I wanna hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one talent.
Cause if I give you my talent, yeah, you will be judged for the talent. Oh Lord, I have so many fears in me.
Only one talent.
I'm afraid people will laugh at me.
Only one talent.
I don't want to be embarrassed, yeah.
Only one talent.
So that is why I hid myself. Oh my Lord, am I falling short? Am I walking in fear, or do I have the spirit of fear? Oh Lord, am I falling short? Am I walking in fear, or do I have the spirit of fear? Oh no, only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need to use what I have. If I wanna hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one talent.
Cause if I give you my talent, yeah, you will be judged for the talent. Now listen. Oh Lord, there's the issue of laziness too.
Only one talent.
I feel tired all the time. I don't like working hard. I don't like difficult things. I like to take my time.
Only one talent.
I love sleeping and eating. I don't want to be bothered.
Only one talent.
And I am scared that you're gonna say to me, thou slothful servant. Oh no, no slothful servant. I don't want to hear those words. I want to use my gift. I want to be up and about, using what I got, using my talents, working for you, Lord. Only one talent.
Only one talent.
Others have more.
Only one talent.
Many more talents.
Only one.
I need to use what I have. If I wanna hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one talent.
Cause if I give you my talent, yeah, you will be judged for the talent. My unbelief, please help me, Lord, to be faithful with the one talent. Oh Lord, would you help my unbelief? Lord, please help me to be faithful with the talent you've given me, Lord. Only one talent. Others have more.
Only one talent.
They have many more talents.
Only one talent.
I need to use what I have.
Only
if I wanna
talent.
Hear you say, well done.
Only one talent.
Good and faithful servant.
Only one talent.
Cause if I give you my talent, I
only
give you my
talent.
Gifts, you will say, well done.
Only
good and faithful
talent.
Servant. Yeah, yeah.
Only one talent.
Amen. It's time for the Word of God. BMI, are you ready to receive from God this morning? Come on, Kolibu, let's stand to our feet as we welcome my prophet, our pastor, our daddy, Pastor Chris!
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this morning. We pray your blessing on our time here in Jesus' name. Amen. You may all be seated. Thank you. We are very blessed to be here this morning, and we are thankful for the service and the music and the dancing. Was it wonderful? I really enjoy Kolibu and all the dancing, and I want to thank Franco and Virgil for developing more talent. Amen. You'll notice they are putting more people in front, and it just needs your patience. These people will develop over time. Amen. But it's wonderful. It shows that there is a future to the church. The church is the greatest thing that you could ever get your life involved with. Other things will come and go, but the church remains forever. Many businesses have come and gone, but the church is still here. Yes, many superstars have come and gone, but the church remains forever. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2, in the last days, which is now, the house of the Lord will be established. Hallelujah. So if you're intelligent, you will want to get your life involved with something that will make you glorious. Amen. Many nations shall flow into the house of the Lord. And it is happening. They will flow, not grow, they will flow. Praise God. Sons and daughters will come from afar. Hallelujah. May you be blessed as you are part of this great, great church. Amen. Glory to God. Tonight we had 4 weeks of services, and then this week also more services. So we thought we'll give you off tonight for the revival. Only those who go to revival, there's not many of you here that go to revival. It's more symphonies people, but I'm just saying. And so you can also enjoy Manchester United and Liverpool. Am I a good pastor? Yes. And the Springboks is also playing this afternoon. You better pray for them, because don't underestimate those Japanese. They look small, but eesh, you can't catch them. They're like rabbits, I'm telling you. And they are in their home country, so when you play in your home country, you have home support. You remember the message of Bishop Eddie? Your pastor must have home support. So when I'm home, there must be support. Otherwise, the pastor is going. While I was sitting here, I was chatting to pastors from Uganda because they have been, I'm arranging my journey. I need to do them all at the same time. Three churches. I'm preaching in three churches. So I don't have a day to rest. I don't have time to waste, really. So when I finish here, I must start here. When I'm finished here, so that's the organization is happening. But they'll have a lot of support. Because I've preached before and they know they have felt the anointing. But the best support is home support. So we're encouraging you to clap hands, to shout. Don't get familiar. Familiarity is when you say, "Ach, I know this guy. Every week he stands up." You see, that's a killer. It kills the anointing. The man of God can't do much for you if you're not open to receive. Amen. Blessed. Our boys played yesterday. What was the result? Did we win any matches? Okay. Okay. I want a full report and I want all the names of the boys because I'm trying to get you involved with more stuff. There's many ways how to bring people closer to the Lord. Amen. Some people that are carnal, you get through carnal invitations. Some that are spiritual, you invite through spirituals. You say, "Let's pray," you see the spiritual people come. You say, "Let's play soccer," you see the carnal people come. But you need to use all the different skills, like parties. Last week, we had it was so beautiful. The church in Symphony had a huge crowd of 450 people attend the International Sunday, and they had dancers, everything. And I believe that this church is having it on the 17th of November. Amen. Because every church was given a total to reach. And Pastor Robin is full of confidence that you guys will do well. Are you also having International Sunday? Or something different? Okay, I'm excited. I'm here. I'll be here. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just love the church. You know, the older I get, the more my heart beats for God. Really. And the more I regret not giving more of my energy to God. Because you start to realize your life is ticking away. So you said, "I've wasted a lot of my youthfulness. I worked for God all my youth, but I could have done more." Always regret. But don't regret when you stand before the judgment seat. Rather regret now. So that you can say, "Here, give me nog 'n dag. Laat ek net nog een oggend my oopmaak. Kan ek vir u iets doen, Here?" But when you stand before the judgment seat, it is too late, you see. You can't go back. The rich man wanted to go back to warn. He said, "You can't go back. You can't go back. Now is the time." If you want to read what happens in heaven, there's a book called The Final Quest. Bishop Dagg used to tell us about this book. And then I got the book for myself. And I read it maybe 3 or 4 times. And the other day I read through it again. Because he says he reads the book like 100 times. There's a chapter 4 in the book where God gave this man a vision of what happens in heaven. And it's very frightening because there are a lot of people in heaven with regrets. Like they're happy to be there and they're just happy to be saved because they just skipped the fiery furnace and they were workers for God, but they realized when they got there that some of the things they made important was not important. And some of the work they did was not important also. So that book is like a warning for you, you see, because they there can't go back, but you can go back. So this man, he came into heaven and he met certain people there. He met 4 different pastors about different experiences. So they told him, "You can still go back and go fix what you see here. We can't go back." We're not sad because there's no sadness in heaven. We're happy, but there is a type of a regret without sadness. There's a type of a regret without sadness. So let's get excited about God. Amen. Let's work for Him. And if you miss the conference this weekend, you missed something very powerful. This girl, come to me. You are so blessed. Give me a hug. Lucy, what do you do in the church? How long has she been with us? From where are you? I want her to work with me, please. Bring her into my team. You are going to go far, I tell you. Yeah. You may go. You may go. She makes me happy, but she also makes me sad. I think that is what they said of me when Bishop Daggs, bishops met me. They said, you make Bishop happy, but you make him sad. Because he thinks that how can you learn so quickly and love so much, yet the others that were around for so long, they can't do what this girl did now. She summed up she absorbed the preaching. She took it all in. And she just put it in a succinct form. I want such people around me. It is very dangerous. I said this at the conference, but maybe you missed it. So I give it to you. I'm a very nice pastor. You should have come, you didn't come, but I still give it to you. Listen to this. It is very dangerous to keep an untrained person in the environment of a great achiever. Because you get frustrated by trying to tell people how to do things. But when you find somebody like a gift, this is the type of people you can have around you. Because one instruction works. Bishop Dag said he prefers his gardener to have a degree from university. He was just saying that one instruction is clearly understood. And it's obeyed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. But you are all blessed and the service was blessed. Now, very shortly, a very powerful message coming to you now called Little Things Matter. It's the month of loyalty, but God is leading me to speak to you in certain ways. I wasn't supposed to be here, but I told Pastor Robin, God, I feel God wants me to come and share something here. Specifically because this is the message that goes on my podcast. The one that is spoken here. Or if I can go even there. But there's a different phase in the life of that church. So I'm teaching other things there. Do you understand? All right. So receive it. And please tune into the podcast. You must know that instructions are so crucial. And this morning I'm going to tell you how a small instruction can change your whole life. Because little things matter. Hallelujah. And people who don't listen, who don't obey, you will see it in their lives. Fruit is so important. God wants to see fruit. And he wants to see much fruit. This morning the Holy Spirit just put into my spirit, much fruit. Not just fruit, much fruit. Hey! God comes around to trees looking for fruit. This is coming on the camp. Who told you to sing that song? Did I tell you? One talent. Where did you get it? Oh, I told her it's the camp's theme. Huh? Oh, good. So you have practice, huh? Great. Where did you get the backtrack? Oh, okay. They're giving backtracks for free. I wish I can be like those people. We must be like them. They share all the blessings with others. What a great thing, isn't it? What a blessing. Much fruit. Amen. Jesus came to a fig tree and he looked for fruit he didn't find. I tell you, the curse. But it's coming on the camp, okay? Because you must produce fruit. Your Christian life, you don't get points in heaven for how long you're serving the Lord. Are you with me? Jare, ek dien u al 10 jaar. Ek is al bekeer vir 15 jaar. The question is, what fruit can you produce? Because he came past the fig tree and he said, the Bible says he came looking for fruit. Hey! He's coming to look for fruit, Sister Vera. And when they found none, the disciples tried to explain why. They said, look, it's not the season for fruit, Lord. He said, no, 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 no. There's no excuse. I'm looking for fruit, and if I find none, I will speak a curse. And he spoke a curse to the fig tree. And the next morning when they passed by, the curse was this: may no one ever eat fruit from you ever again. Because when I came looking for it, you never had it. It was one of my first messages. This one I preached after I met Bishop. I didn't meet him. I just heard about him and I listened to him. So he spoke about it and it touched my spirit that I preached it. And after that message, it looks like a judgment came into this church. Many years ago, a judgment, and people were cut with swords out of the ministry. I preached it on a camp. I preached that God is looking for fruit. And if you are not producing, may no one ever eat from your tree again. In other words, your voice will become silent. May no one hear your voice ever again. Hallelujah. Listen, friends, you must love God's word. Huh? Everything you ever need is in the Bible. You won't believe how powerful the Bible is. Men have searched the pages, but they haven't touched the surface. You can read a passage 1,000 times, and it can give you 1,000 different lessons. Oh, Mike Murdoch used to keep his Bible, and he rubbed it so. Let's imagine that. It's a Bible, isn't it? Very nice. I like this. Leather covers. You must buy yourselves expensive Bibles. Don't buy these cheap Bibles. Buy yourself a nice, like this is leather. It's dirty, but it's okay. Because the Bible must be used. Amen. I'm looking now for a new Bible. I've got a very expensive Bible, probably 2,000 rand. I'm looking for 3,000 rand or 4,000 rand Bible. If it's the most important book in your life, it must also have value, isn't it? But I can't find it. I must order it from overseas. But leather cover like this. Then you'll understand why people like Mike Murdoch kisses. I don't want to kiss the song. But he kisses him. You must love your Bible like that. Amen. All right, little things matter. The Bible says in Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, who has despised the day of small beginnings? Hallelujah. Who has despised the day of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. NLT, what does it say? Do not despise these small beginnings. Say small beginnings. Hallelujah. Now, I'm fully aware that as I'm preaching, everybody desires maybe some of the stuff I'm sharing. And everybody wants to reach these great heights or wherever you would like to go in life. But what you must understand is that small things are very important in your quest to go far. Are you with me? One day Bishop Derek told me something that I never forgot. He said, you know what is the reason why people don't have big churches? I said, no. He said, the reason is they are not prepared to have small churches. And it doesn't make sense to you, but to me it makes a lot of sense. You see, you must not be ashamed to start with something small. And that something small will grow into something big. Many people don't want to do small things. They despise small things. So one of the things he always told me is, don't despise the children. Like our church is full of children. If you look at our totals, say we have 1,000 people in all our branches, then about 500 of them are under 12 or so. Because we count numbers. Over 12 goes as an adult and under 12 goes as a child. Bishop Dagdem have dropped their number now to under 10. Because they say from 10 or 11, the children are busy with wrong things. And the children at the ages of 10 or even 9, they will tell you, you mustn't treat them like children. They know things. One child said to his mother, was 9, they said, Mommy, you mustn't think I don't know things. I know things. It's true, isn't it? I mean, talk to your younger brothers and you'll see how you think they don't know. They know things. They know things. And the education at schools today is different. And the internet and the exposure to things is different. So you don't think they are innocent little 10-year-olds. Alles vroeg ryp. En vroeg vrot. It's Afrikaans. It simply means you are early ripe and you are early vrot. Early rotten. Early, you ripen early and you rotten early. May God have mercy. Small things are very important. You know, big doors can hang on small hinges. But the hinge has the power to open and to close a door. Hey! Small keys. I mean, a safe can be. Have you seen a safe that you can walk in? One of our offices we used to rent at the VGK buildings, we had a walk-in safe. Very strong door like this. And then it opens and then the bolts come. But the key was just so small. So a small key can open a safe. A safe normally keeps expensive things. Riches, hidden treasures. So all you need is the key, but it's small. And you might be your open door to many great things. Say amen. Amen. I often fly aeroplanes, and I'm always intrigued by an aeroplane. I'm always intrigued by this marvel of science that people have discovered, that this big, heavy, megaton thing can go into the sky. Then I'm also very surprised that if you look at the big jumbo jets, you get huge jets. The pilot is very small. It's like the little window there is a small window. You can't really see much. It's just and the thing that really makes this thing go up is just it's a small steering joystick. Pull it back, so push forward. Even the wheel that turns a boat, big boat, small little thing, just a massive boat is turning. Something small. A truck is big, just a small steering wheel. There was an accident in the week. A truck driver got a heart attack. And he couldn't handle the steering wheel. He went right into the nature reserve here at UWC. The students will know about it, I'm sure. Unfortunate. Because it's that little thing. Move that heavy machine. Don't despise small beginnings. Amen? Amen? Very, very important. Your small finger can press the phone numbers of somebody that can be a great blessing to you. You could even phone their night, your husband, but you didn't know it's your beloved's number that you are pressing. So you must never despise small beginnings. Many will never become great or big because they want big beginnings. Are you listening? No. So when we're talking about you and your ministry and what you can do for God, it will have to be something small in the church. You see these girls dancing, the choir singing, beautiful. So you must, don't wait and say, no, I can't do something small. I see these girls at the gate in the morning and I'm teasing them. Because they don't have Monique's style yet. Monique, you have to train them, please. But at least it's something they're starting to do. It's a blessing. Starting small. One day you'll be singing and standing here. Preaching, singing, traveling. But you got to start small. You can't want to just do that and you didn't do anything small. Are you listening? In 2 Kings 5, there's a story of Naaman. One of my favorite stories in the Bible. I don't know why I'm always so intrigued with the story. Recently on Facebook, somebody put little movie of Naaman. I don't know if it's a new movie, but there's this whole clip where this man, the story of Naaman is now on video or movie. Yay! He comes with leprosy. The Bible says he was a great man. A man full of valor, and he had soldiers with him. He was a captain in this Assyrian army. He wasn't a small guy. But he had a problem. He had leprosy. And when an Israelite girl was working for them as a slave, a small girl, she saw him and she said, she said to the wife, I wish my master could go to my prophet in Israel. That man has great anointing and great power. She said, really? She said, yes. I just wish he could go to the right man. Then the king of Syria heard it. Naaman told him that they said there's a man that can help him, because he was very sad that Naaman was going to die because leprosy, there was no cure for leprosy. And he was a great general in the army. So he said, well then, I'll write a letter and go to the king of Israel and ask for help. And so he went, and when the king of Israel got the message, he said, do you think I'm God that I can help you? Are you mad? He started to tear his clothes. He said, how can I can't help. This is supernatural. It's above my being. No, I can't help you. Sorry. They sent him with money. Because sometimes if you're desperate, you know, you pay any amount just to get your help. And many of you that's chasing things that doesn't matter, God will bring you to a place where all you're really going to need is God. No money, no friends, no parties, no nice times. God. Pray. You must meet God before you come to that deathbed. And when Elijah heard the story happening in the king's palace, and the king being angry, and the king saying, does your king want to start a war? He thinks that he's using this thing to start a war. Sending me to heal you. You know I can't heal him. And when he goes back, then you want to fight. You want a war. They were always afraid of war. And then when Elijah heard it, he said, no. Send him to me. Wow. So he came with his entourage of soldiers, people fanning. At that time, people used to just, their job was fanning an important man. Wow. And they didn't find it strange. It's only you proud people who don't think that somebody can be something small for somebody else. But when he came to Elijah, he had an idea and understanding of how it must be done. You see, he's a great man, so he wanted something great. But Elijah didn't even face him. Elisha didn't even face him. Elisha sent the servant and said, tell him to dip. Just dip himself. Just do something small. Dip himself 7 times in the muddy waters of Jordan. And the Bible says he became angry because it did not happen the way he wanted it to happen. Are you all listening? You see, people sometimes become angry at God's word because God's word gives simple instructions. Yeah. And when you don't want to follow the word, you get angry because it's almost like, a lot of people get angry at my preaching. I was asking a sister in the week at the airport. We went to see Off Evans. He's in Romania now. He arrived safely, by the way. So I asked her, do people get angry at my preaching? And she was honest. She said, I think they do. I said, do you get angry? She said, no, not me, Pastor. But I think the people get angry. I said, really? I said, what people like? The ladies, when I'm always correcting the ladies, then a lot of them, they don't like it, Pastor. I said, really? Wow. You see, it's like Naaman. You're given the word of God, but you get, the Bible says he was infuriated. He was angry. You are given, God gives women instruction how to behave, and some of them get angry. They don't like that behavior. Not what God says. They want their type of behavior. Like they imagine how it must be. But the Bible says he dipped. I'll share that with somebody and share it on Facebook. Then you can all see it. He dipped and he dipped and he dipped. And every time he came, I said, nothing. But in the video, it's not in the Bible, in the video, he speaks to the assistant and the assistant takes the guys away. Says, Lester, kom ons gaan weg. Let's go away. Don't embarrass the master. Because he's feeling embarrassed now to dip in this. He looks almost like a fool. He's going to dip in the muddy waters of Jordan. En hy wil nie so dwaaslik voor julle nie. Ek is mos 'n kwaai ou man. Ha! The things of God can sometimes first make you look foolish. And if you are proud, you see, what God sometimes does, he cuts proud people out of his agenda, out of his blessing. Proud people can never have the blessing of God. So he had to humble this man, this great man, for his healing. And this small instruction. See? So when he didn't want to do it, he was going to go back, but one of his servants was used mightily by God, said, my master, please, the man didn't ask. If he asked you something great, you would have done it. But he asked you something small. Why didn't you just do it? Why don't you just do it? Something small, just do it. Just stand with a placard and say, welcome to BMI. Why don't you just? Do you know we're building new toilets now? It should be done in the week. Very nice flush toilets at our new property, because the ladies were complaining they don't like that building warehouse toilet. So we're doing nice toilets. And I realized that the way I want my toilets to be managed is that there will be a person in the toilet. And every time somebody uses the toilet, there can't be a second user until the cleaner goes in to make sure that the person who used it didn't mess it up. And then I realized that not many people would like that job. But I'm going to do it myself to show you that I don't mind to do small things. Actually, I'm the best toilet cleaner in the whole world. Yeah, you can check my toilets. It's white like your marble teeth you could never imagine. Because I like neatness, me, myself. I love neatness. So nobody can clean toilet pots like me. It will sparkle like your Handy Andy. Mr. Minmak, the Jesus skoon laat het blink. Yeah. So I don't have a problem with that. Because when I don't like using public facilities because they're sometimes dirty. But you go to some places in the world, the places are spick and span. And you go to airports, there's always somebody in the bathroom. Cleaning, making sure it is clean. If you go to our sports fields and you don't want to use the toilets here. But it's a small thing. But somebody would say, I want to be great. Toilet me. No, that's why here we have very few helpers here. And they don't even do the work properly because they are too few. They want to be great, want to be singing this. Be on stage, but you must do the small things God is asking you. Because it's going to make you a great person. Hallelujah. It's going to make you a very great person. Amen. Never despise small beginnings. When you do the simple, then the supernatural occurs. Amen. And small beginnings often have very great endings. Jesus himself understood this principle because he was born in a small place, a stable in humble Bethlehem. Not a palace. And do you know Jesus came from a very great place? Jesus came from a very great place, but he came humbly born in a stable. But his beginnings did not matter to him. He knew his destiny. And I want to encourage you to start now. Don't wait. I once heard a great Chinese proverb. Can I say to you a Chinese proverb? It says, the best time to plant a tree was 20 years ago. And the second best time is now. It's a Chinese. Chinese have great proverbs. One of the proverbs was always, you cannot chase two rabbits. Chinese have these wonderful sayings. I don't know what's it about the Chinese. They They say that the wise men who brought gifts to the Lord must have been from the East, Chinese. No. They say Job was a Chinese man, Job. He was from the East. Job. Are you listening? They said Adam and Eve could not have been Chinese. Otherwise, they would have eaten the snake. Because Chinese eat snakes, don't you know? Anyway, let's be serious. Let's be serious. So, born in a stable in humble Bethlehem because he knew what his end was. Hallelujah. He was aware of the greatness of his destination. And here's the key where loyalty fits in. He said in Luke 16 verse 10, if you are faithful in the small things, then God can make you faithful over bigger things. Amen. If you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. So when your pastor or your leader gives you a small instruction, do it. From there, you will get bigger instructions. But if you can't even do the small thing, you will never do big things. Are you listening? But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. Amen. It's powerful. It's marvelous. In the small things, attention to detail produces excellence. They often call me a pastor of excellence, the other pastors who see me. But I've realized that when you want to have such a name or a title, you must pay attention to small detail. Like when I come into a place, you can see other pastors, they struggle to understand why I would quickly see that this is not right, that is not right, this is not. It's the attention to small detail. Say attention to small detail. Yeah. Don't ignore small things. Don't ignore. Because that makes the big difference. It's the little things that make the big difference. Hallelujah. Very, very important. And it will be the difference between extraordinary champions and losers. The detail to small things is the difference between champions and losers. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Pay attention to small detail. Now, quickly, let's close this message by saying there were many great people that you see in the world today, but they didn't start great. So don't despise or feel insignificant by your small little acts of obedience, because you are giving birth to a great future. And I'm giving some people chances to be close to me so that I can give them instructions and just see if you follow it, because it is the start of your greatness. Those who disobey, it's a pity. It's a pity. Obedience is the key to everything. God's only requirement from man is obedience. That's it. His only ever requirement from you is obedience. Obey, obey his word. Obey his word. Obey his word. Obey his word. Blessings are waiting. Gifts are waiting. Riches and honor is waiting for you. All you have to do is to obey. Don't be fooled by the devil who makes things look glorious for you, but it's not. He came with that trick to Jesus. He said, look at all these kingdoms, look at it, just bow to me, I give it to you. You see, and this is the same trick he uses on most people, even Christians. You bow to the glitter and the glamour of the world, and then you lose everything. He was lying to Jesus. He couldn't give him, he wasn't going to give him anything. No. Small beginning. Say small things. Joel Osteen, the guy with his big church you see on TV, if you ever watch the important things on TV. You see, he was a faithful man. He did the videos for his father. His father was a great man of God, John Austin. This guy was the video cameraman. He never had a dream of taking over his father's church, because there was other children also, and there were other assistant pastors. But when the father died, he said, the Lord said that this one must be the pastor. He said, but I'm just a video man. I just work the sound, or I work the video. But if you see the church now, it's 100 times bigger than his father's church. You see, because God looked at the man who was faithful in a little. I can make you ruler over much. Maar jy wat hierdie klein dingetjie kan doen nie. Jy sal nooit iets groot het nie. You that can do something little will never have something big. Are you receiving the word of God to you this morning? Hallelujah. Don't be disturbed by small things that might distract you from doing your little thing that you must do for God. Amen. Then a great evangelist also became great by making the tapes for his pastor. He just made the tapes. In other words, he had to make the recordings. But to do the recordings, like Bevan now doing the podcast, he has to listen to it. Jason used to do that. He's now in America. He used to listen to the podcast and he must, okay, daddy, I'm cutting out this and then I'm going to start here. Then, you know, then I end with the song. Now to do that, you must listen. So the listening of the tapes has also been a blessing to him. Listening and editing. So this pastor, this evangelist became great because he did this little job of recording and putting the packaging for the man of God. What a blessing. He served and he ministered and God made him great. You will become great if you serve and you minister in the house of God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. You will become very, very great if you are like that. Last week or 2 weeks ago, I told you about Ruth. Remember that wonderful story? She began as an ignorant Moabite heathen girl. And all she did, she listened to the instruction of her mother-in-law. Go there, do this. Walk behind this. Wash yourself, clean yourself. Small instructions. And paid attention to detail. Pay attention to detail. Don't make your hair in a bola. Make your hair hang loose. Wow. Does it matter? It doesn't matter. No, it matters. You see? Now people get angry with me because they are not like me. See? Why is pastor so finicky about this thing? Oskar het masoodun. Many years ago, there was a group in my church that I wanted things. This team will know. I just want things the way I want it. But that's what makes you great. You understand? So this person said to me, Pastor, moenie so vir pastor stress oor die klein goed nie. Das mos baie wat so is. Hulle dink is klein goed. That's why they're not great. It's small to you, but it's not small to me. I pay attention to detail. Hoe kan raak die man so kwaad? Die vensters is hier oopie, maar as die daai kant is mos oop. Nee, ons wil al twee kante oop hê. Attention to detail. And so she said, play pastor, be pastor, so goed. Los vir ons, laat ons. It was the last of that sister in my church. The last. You can ask these people that were with me for long. Is dit waar wat ek preek? Is dit waar? Julle het ook mos al kwaad geraak vir my, nê? Julle raak ook mos kwaad. You see, a great man pays attention to detail. I'm teaching you that small things are important for great people. For you, it's, waarvoor gaat hy so aan? Dis hoekom jy is wat jy is. That's why you have not progressed yet where you can go. Because you don't pay attention to detail. I said, do it like this, do it like this. It's not done like this. Hallelujah. And Ruth became the great-grandmother of David, who later ushered in Christ. Abigail is another great lady. She only did something small. She brought a lunch packet to David while he was in the desert. Not something great, something small. Because her husband was rude to him. She thought, let me rather do something to save the situation. And she made nice lunch, butter bread, and hot chips, put it in lunchbox, and she came to David in the desert, and she became the wife of the king. Wow. Your small act can open mighty doors for you. Receive it in Jesus' name. And when Jesus wanted to do mighty miracles, he never did it without giving a small instruction. And if you want to receive a miracle from God, be it known unto you this day that a small instruction will come to you. Hallelujah. To the blind man, he said, go wash in the pool of Siloam. John 9 verse 7. John 9 verse 7. He said, the man is blind, man. He wants a mighty miracle. He wants stars and abracadabra. He said, no, go wash in the... Same like Naaman. Go wash in the pool. Go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. So the man went. Did he do it? He washed, and what happened? Mighty miracle. He said to Peter, Peter, take the same boat that you came back now from. You couldn't catch any fish. Now go back into the water. I say go back. You see? Launch into the deep. And then throw your net on the other side. The greatest amount of fish Peter ever caught in his whole life. Thank God Peter was not a South African. He would have said, I just come back from the water now. You're telling me to go back? Chase most miles, eh? Why don't you do it yourself? Tell me to go back. You see? But because he obeyed the simple instruction, he went back into the water. He threw his net on the other side. The same place. He just go a little deeper. The Bible says he couldn't handle the fish. And he said, please come. Your prosperity is coming to you if you can take a small instruction. A small instruction. Hallelujah. The wedding at Cana. Yeah. When they turned water into wine. Ah, what a great miracle. All he told them in John 2 verse 7, fill the water pots with water. You see, every time you see Jesus working, maybe you never saw this before. He was always giving an instruction before somebody got something. Nobody got something for nothing. You must do something that I tell you and you will receive your miracle. The mother said to the people, everything this man tells you to do, just do it. Don't still ask questions. Because I've seen that when he says something, miracles happen. Hey! And when they filled the pots with water, it was the best wine. Everything is the best where Jesus is concerned. You'll have your best life if you receive Jesus. The life you're living now is a life in the flesh. And it's a life for the devil. But when you come to Jesus, you start to live your best life. Hallelujah. Dallas Holmes sang a beautiful song. He said, if I had it to do all over again, I'll serve Jesus every day of my life. I'm going to play that song for you at the camp. So please come. If I had it to do, or if I have to do my life all over again, then I will serve Jesus every day of my life. Because it's the best thing. Hallelujah. What a glory. Amen. Water, water, water. He turns water into wine. Another man asked Pastor Robin the other day, I heard him say, how do you make holy water? But this was a drunk guy, so I thought, I wonder why is he asking Pastor Robin, how do you make holy water? And Pastor Robin was scratching his head. And I also don't know how to make holy. You see, they told him I'm a pastor. So he said, Pastor, you're a holy man. I said, yes. He said, how do you make holy water? I said, I don't know. He said, you boil the hell out of it. And the water will be holy. Sit up straight and start to play slowly. No leaning on the chairs. Hallelujah. A sick man of palsy in Mark chapter 2 verse 11. He said, arise, take up thy bed and go. Arise, take up thy bed. The instruction is small, but the miracle is great. Amen. To the boy with the two loaves and the five, the two fish and the five loaves. bring them hither to me. Matthew 14, verse 18. They said, Lord, there's only a boy with this. There's no food for all these people. 10,000 people, 15,000 people, maybe 20,000 people. The Bible doesn't say. It only said the men were 5,000. And normally men came with their wives and children. And then in another instruction, always an instruction. Always a what? Always a what? Before a miracle. Oh, I love this teaching. Always an instruction before a miracle. He says, bring the stuff to me. They could have said, no, the boy says this, the boy, we can't find the boy in the 5,000 people. No. Bring the stuff to me. And on that, the obedience of the instruction. Mala boshtaka. He prayed and he gave thanks. Oh, isn't it wonderful? Somebody said the other day, I never heard this before. She says, when you pray for miracles, one of the keys is to give thanks. You see. And he said, the man of God always used to lay hands on the sick. And as he's praying, he's giving God thanks. So we wondered, why are you thanking God? You must pray for healing. But then the Lord showed him, every time Jesus prayed for a miracle, he gave thanks. When he called Lazarus from the tomb, he said, Lord, I thank you that you hear me. And when he prayed for the bread, he said, Lord, I thank you for your provision. Hallelujah. Always give thanks to the Lord in everything you do. But the Bible says there was even 12 doggy bags left for the 12 disciples. If you are a servant of God, you will always have a doggy bag. Hallelujah. How many of you love doggy bags like I do? Oh, I love doggy bags more than the food. One day this man was in Spur with his family and he kept saying, can I have a doggy bag, please? Because these things, you know, we don't want to waste it. And so the one boy was, you know, children are innocent and they can say bad things. So he shouted loud, but daddy, we don't have dogs at home. Daddy, shh. Doggy bag. Die pa weet, hy gaat self vanavond laat aan. Tonight late he's gonna go back. He's the dog himself. I close by saying, great miracles do not need great instructions. And I know you need a miracle in your life. Some of you have deep-seated problems. You need a miracle. But a great miracle doesn't need a great instruction. They require only obeyed instruction. A great miracle needs an obeyed instruction. Hallelujah. Obedience turns an uncommon instruction into an uncommon miracle. Your obedience will turn an uncommon instruction into an uncommon miracle. God does not give great instructions to great men. He gives uncommon instructions to common men. And when you obey that instruction, then greatness is birthed in you. Isaiah 1:19. This is a great scripture. Look at it. It says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Make this your memory scripture. I've asked somebody to reintroduce the memory scriptures, but they didn't listen to me. Forgive. Make this your memory scripture. If you will only obey me, you will have plenty to eat. No, Mister, put it in the King James. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. If you be willing and obedient. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, a lot of your problems is because of your disobedience. No, I'm sorry, that's the wrong statement. All of your problems is because there's disobedience somewhere. It's simple. Because this verse says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat of the good of the land. Hallelujah. Nothing you will do today is small in the eyes of God. Nothing. You may have a small beginning. You might just be coming to this church. It's your beginning. But your future is great. if you don't despise small things. Don't despise standing with a placard. Don't despise making tea at the back. Don't despise the small instruction that says, come to church every Sunday. Don't come, skip a few. That's why your life is not being blessed. You couldn't obey a simple instruction. Does it hurt, this preaching sometimes? The preaching is like a sword. The word of God is like a sword. It cuts out the cancer from you so that you don't die. So sometimes it is painful. I don't mean to hurt you. It's the word of God that is hurting you. It's for your benefit. Do you understand? So you must obey the instructions that has been preached from the pastor, that comes from the word of God. It is God's word to you so that you can be blessed. God wants you to see you blessed in the land. To see you blessed in the land. And the enemy wants you to follow your own mindset and your own thinking and your emotions and people's thinking. No, no, no. Obey the word of God. Obey the word of the Lord. And don't despise small things. Don't despise the fact that you're asked to do something small. Stand here. Do that. Carry this. Do this. Do it. Great miracles are given to common people because they get a small instruction to do. May you be obedient to the instruction. You will see great things in your life.